Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're making our way together through this amazing Advent season, the important season of the church year, the beginning of the year when we begin the journey, this beautiful journey that the church takes us through every year, which is the Paschal mystery of the life of Jesus. It's wonderful to just step back for a minute and think about this, how the church is for us a mother who teaches us, who leads us, and she's the bearer of the great story, the narrative of God's work of salvation through his beloved son, Jesus Christ. And each year the church takes us through the life of Jesus and begins now with Advent, which is the anticipation of the coming of the Lord. We're going to celebrate at the end of Advent, Christmas, right? The birth of Jesus, the astounding miracle of the incarnation of our Lord. That's where it begins. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, right? So Jesus becomes one of us. And the salvation story, which really is the whole story of the Bible, but now this is the fullness of time. St. Paul tells us in Galatians, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son into the world, born of a virgin, born of Our Lady. And so here's the great mystery. God came to us in his creation. He came to us in the patriarchs of the Old Testament. He came to us in the prophets, in the word, and the rest of it. But now, the fullness of time, he comes himself in his son, Jesus. He, you know, that God himself takes on human flesh, and the whole story of God's salvation gets ratcheted up to its fullness now. Because God enters his creation, and he enters, and we'll see in the different readings that we saw, as we saw yesterday, he comes to deal, comes to save, first of all, to save us, right? And salvation means to break the power of sin and death that reigns over the human mind and the human heart, that the whole of the human race is enslaved and we're cut off from our ultimate destiny and living confused and without clarity about who we are. That's because of the power, the reign of sin and death is what St. Paul describes it as. And there's a kingdom on this of this world, the kingdom of the enemy. Satan is trying to rule over God's creation here. And of course, especially the image of God. And Jesus comes, and we'll see throughout Advent, references from the Old Testament and other places of the kingship and the majesty, the prophetic anticipation of the coming of the Messiah. And Jesus has the authority of God. He's the king who's come to establish a beachhead of the kingdom of God on the earth in his church. And we saw that manifested yesterday in the beautiful story, the reading of the gospel, of the paralytic who's let down through the roof. His friends were trying to bring him to Jesus so Jesus could heal him, but the crowds were so tight that they couldn't get to it, so they climbed on the roof of the building, took the tiles off, and lowered him down right in the middle of that crowd. And they watched this amazing drama that's going on, a conflict between the religious leaders, the Pharisees, and the keepers of the law who were present. And they're resisting Jesus, but Jesus reads their heart, you know. He knows what's going on inside them and the resistance that's there to his kingship and what belongs to Jesus. And so there's that conflict is there, and then Jesus uses it as a moment, and it sounds like he's inspired, and his inspiration might even have been ignited by it. The passage said he was essentially impressed by the faith of those who lowered their friend down because they believed Jesus was the answer to all of what this man was suffering. So Jesus first says, surprisingly, your sins are forgiven. Right? They let him down so he could be healed, but Jesus was being clear. Everybody could see the physical healing that the man needed. But the deeper sickness that in some way the physical healing actually is, the physical condition actually is a manifestation of just the overall fallen condition and the sin-sick condition of the human race. But Jesus makes a point for us to see the deeper sin, the deeper sickness, and the sickness that's in the human heart from which we need to be freed, and that Jesus is the only one who can ultimately heal us. And the healing is the forgiveness of sins. That's often difficult for us to see, and they didn't know it in the moment, but Jesus used it as a teaching moment for everybody to see what his priority was. And then, of course, the religious leaders started grumbling and pushing back, and they're like, wait a minute, is this blasphemy? Who does this guy think he is? How can he forgive the sins? This man didn't do anything against him. This man is not asking him to forgive his sin for something that he had done to Jesus. Jesus is like a third party, and he forgives this man's sins? That doesn't make any sense. Plus, only God can forgive sins. I can forgive you if in some way you harm me and you come to me and ask for forgiveness. I can, from my perspective and from what I'm capable of, I can say, yes, I forgive you for what you did to me. I won't hold this against you any longer, right? But Jesus is talking about somebody who he's meeting for the first time. And he makes it clear that he has the authority to forgive all sin. It made me think about, of course, this is Luke's gospel. Luke's telling the story. At the end of Luke's gospel, he has this dramatic post-resurrection moment when Jesus is meeting and he comes to the disciples who are the apostles who are in the upper room, and he explains to them the meaning of what just happened on Calvary, which rocked their world. They were scared, frightened, and they bolted, and they came back, and then Jesus appears to them. And it says this in Luke 24, then Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures. That line in and of itself is an important one for all of us to understand. The Bible, that's what they mean by the scriptures, God's breathed word. It's the word of God written by men who intended to write what they wrote, but it's the words of God and the words of men, and the men communicating under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the words God desires us to know for our salvation. This is God's true living word. And it's the Holy Spirit who opens our minds and gives us understanding of the meaning of the scripture. Without God's help, we're not going to be able to grasp the deeper reality and the life-transforming power that's present in God's word. So it said, then he opened their minds to understand the scripture and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations. So Jesus came preaching right from the beginning. He said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe. Here we are at the beginning of Advent. We're reflecting on Jesus' coming. It's a really important question to ask, why did he come? The central reason he came was to deal with the sin problem in the human heart, which produced the death problem, which produces eternal separation from God. Jesus made it clear. Why did he die on a cross? Why did he rise from the dead? Here he's saying to the apostles that this is what the Bible, the Old Testament, and the prophets were prophesying, that the day would come when this would be possible, that repentance and forgiveness of sins could be preached in Jesus' name to all nations. So the apostles ended up doing just that, and they declared that Jesus is the only Savior of the world. Why is he the only Savior of the world? Because he's the only God-man, right? He's the only one capable, by virtue of being both God and man, to have the power to do it. But he's the only one who died to take away sin. He shed his blood to become a sacrifice for sin. So at the beginning of this new year, let's remember the fundamental reason for which Jesus came. Again, in this special moment when he's uniting with his apostles, the first time after he rose from the dead in Luke's account, so it's the post-resurrection moment. And what Jesus does is he dials in. He said, now pay attention, brothers. What happened was supposed to happen. The prophets prophesied in the Old Testament that the Messiah would come and he would die and he would lay down his life for the salvation of the world, and that forgiveness of sins, which we see in the temple and temple sacrifice, which is a sign of the forgiveness that's going to be extended to the whole world, comes through the preaching of the gospel. And the preaching of the gospel is offering the good news of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on a cross and his dying and rising from the dead. And the good news is that your sins can be forgiven. Jesus' work is not just psychological or therapeutic. In other words, he's not just a counselor coming to console and to encourage us. He's coming, as he did with the paralytic, to remove a deep sickness that's in us, that's killing us. It's a deep spiritual sickness. It's called sin. And every human being that's born is born into sin and needs to be delivered from it through the waters of baptism. And then we, in this journey toward God, in this journey on earth, we can be tempted again because of our own weakness. We can say yes to sin, and sin can lay hold of us again if we allow it to. But the Lord gave us provision in the apostles here, right? Here's an example. He said he wants the repentance and forgiveness of sins to be preached to the whole world. How does that happen? It happens first through the bishops and the priests, and then the whole church. is engaged in it. And the sacrament of reconciliation, of repentance, is offered for all who fall into mortal sin and need their sins forgiven. It's made possible only in the church. He goes on to say then in verse 48, that this preaching is to begin in Jerusalem. So he looks at the apostles and he said, "You are witnesses to these things. You're the ones that have seen it all. You've seen my ministry. You know who I am. And now I'm commissioning you and I'm sending you." So they're the first. The church is built on the apostles and the prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And verse 49 says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." It's interesting in that account of Jesus healing the paralytic, it said the power to heal was upon Jesus in that day, that the Lord gave him power to heal. And Jesus is saying, where's that power come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit. And in that particular moment, the Father is moving Jesus to work signs and wonders to confirm the preaching and the truth of what Jesus was accomplishing there in the forgiveness of sins. And so Jesus is telling the apostles, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high." The church, friends, is a miracle. Yeah, and it's made up of sinners and saints. We're living at a time in the church when the sins of the church and the weaknesses of the church and even the crimes of some of the church are being manifested. That's the Lord purifying his body. Jesus knows who he chose because what? He chose 12 and what happened to them on Holy Thursday night. And on Good Friday, they split, they ran. Some betrayed him, some denied him. They were trapped in their own fear and the fear of death and the fear of men and the power of sin that was at work in them. But they were given power in the Holy Spirit to live a new way of life. And each one of us who've been baptized into Christ and confirmed have been given that same Holy Spirit, literally clothed with power. That's why Jesus could say in the Gospel of John, John remembers clearly Jesus saying, "Greater signs than these will accompany those who believe." He wants his church to be ministers of his grace in both the preaching of the gospel, the forgiveness of sins, and the working of signs and wonders to confirm that preaching and the truth of that preaching. And how does that happen? It happens because we're clothed with power from on high in the Holy Spirit. So as we begin, again, this season of Advent, it's a time of awakening. It's the start of the new year. Let's be alert. Let's be alert to what Jesus wants to teach us and what the whole Paschal mystery, the mystery of Jesus' life, his incarnation, his life, his teaching, his signs and wonders, his death on a cross, his rising from the dead, his ascension into heaven, his outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost and the birth of the church. We're going to keep living that rhythm. That's our story. And we can be numb to it if we're not careful. We need to enter into the story and to let it come into our hearts, to receive what the church is giving to us in the scripture, this story, so that it becomes a lived reality in your life. You are part of this drama. You're not just meant to be in the crowd or in the theater watching it happen. You're meant to be living the story because the story of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's presence in your life has begun. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, What Happens When I Die, in which Ralph asks some very important questions. Is there life after death? What will it be like? How do my actions in this life affect what happens when I die? If you'd like a free copy of this booklet, you can go to 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.